You're just seconds away from a rare two-part extended conversation, this time with Elizabeth Buck, the United Way of Central Iowa president, and Seth Johnson, the program director of the Opportunity Effort. You know, while we celebrate all of the wonderful things we have in the greater Des Moines metro, there are a number of factors and places in the city that call out for attention. And that conversation is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
We're going to be spending some time with Elizabeth Buck, who's the president of United Way of Central Iowa. And we're going to be talking a lot about economics and people and jobs and childcare and transportation and all those things that United Way is supportive of, and with help from a great many people here in the greater Des Moines metro and beyond. And also Seth Johnson is with Opportunity, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Elizabeth, nice to have you with the Business News Hour. Good
Thanks
to have
for
you.
Having us.
I named off a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah.
That United Way does.
Yeah. So we lead the fight in our community for the education, income, and health of all Central Iowans. And we, back in 2009, our community came together and set really bold goals in those three areas. And so we have been focused on high school graduation,
right,
reducing poverty, and building a healthy community here in Central Iowa.
Yeah, and we do have a relatively healthy community in Central Iowa.
Yeah, we're fortunate to live in Central Iowa. It's a great place to work and raise a family.
Yeah. My friends at the Greater Des Moines Partnership and every single Chamber of Commerce around here consistently talk about this is the best place in the world, it would seem, to raise a family, to start a business, to have a job, for upward mobility, to own a house, all of those things. And I think you and I celebrate that, yeah?
Definitely. As I said, we are fortunate to live in Central Iowa. We are the number one per capita United Way in the country. So this is a very generous community that is really focused on collaboratively coming together to make it an even better place. But But it is not. Our opportunities here in our community are not equal. And we have about 33% of Central Iowans who are struggling to make ends meet. And most of those 33% are working.
Yeah. And I want to start there if I can. I don't know if it's you or Seth that have some of these numbers, but let's start there, Seth, talking a little bit about common misnomers out there in the public, you know. And I hear this from time to time. I live in the western suburbs, you know, well, sort of in the western. Windsor Heights, I guess, is the western suburbs before you get out there where all the houses look alike, where people have this tendency to believe that if you are taking some kind of assistance, wherever that assistance happens to be, that you're sitting on your couch watching soaps and eating bonbons. But that's not necessarily the case, is it?
No, that's really not. I think that comes back to what we understand the word of poverty to even mean, right?
Yeah.
For us history buffs, Michael,
sure,
you and I, is, you know, President Johnson announced the war on poverty in 1964. In 1965, we set the federal poverty level. We really haven't changed that level since then. So our definition of poverty that we think of when we hear that word is homeless individuals, people with tattered clothing, people that are hungry, when that definition is outdated. We have a much broader definition of truly what it means to be struggling in our community. And so that's why with Opportunity, we talk about poverty isn't just one demographic, one person, one area. It's actually a spectrum. And so we're talking about those extremely poor. Those are definitely people in poverty. But we're also talking about that ALICE population, which is the asset limited, income constrained, and employed population.
ALICE. Everybody's got a moniker. Go ahead. Yeah.
Everybody has one. But we talk about ALICE is that these individuals are working. They're not only working one job, but often two jobs. They're also not working just at minimum wage. They're working above minimum wage. And they're still not able to get the entire wage necessary to cover all of the necessary monthly expenses that they have. And so those individuals, up to 250% of federal poverty level, we say that those individuals are struggling and are in poverty. And that's what we need to rally around, is our definition's outdated. And we need to realize that poverty, looks not like what we think it is, but we see it each and every day.
All right, let's talk, first of all, let's throw some numbers at me here a little bit. So, because we talk about poverty levels all the time. Every economist will point to these things. So what is the federal poverty level, and what is 250% of that poverty level, and where does it, what does it all mean?
Yeah, so let's use a family of four to kind of talk about
okay.
it. And so that 100% of federal poverty level, that is less than $25,000 for that family of four. And then our spectrum that we talk about, we're talking about for a family of four up to $62,000 a year is financially struggling. So if you're below $62,000 a year, we know from our data and all of the good research that we've done that you most likely aren't able to cover all the necessary budget items that you have in each month. And so you're financially struggling.
All right. So, but this isn't necessarily, and you guys do this work all the time, Seth. This isn't necessarily because they've overextended themselves on luxury items or things. This is just the basic costs of living, roof over your head, transportation, childcare, and it goes on and on and on.
Just those basic things, you know, just providing food on a table is included in this. And, you know, you don't think about that expense and how expensive that is. And this is eating at home. This isn't eating out.
Right.
This doesn't allow for other items in the budget to go to the movies, to go enjoy some of the great amenities that we have downtown as well, too. This is a bare bones budget that we're talking about here. And 33% of our population in central Iowa, so Polk, Warren, and Dallas County, are in that bucket.
33%, a full third of our population are in that bucket. Okay, that just changes the narrative a bit, Elizabeth. And you start to take a look at that 33% of individuals that are struggling. How does the United Way... How are you assistive to those families, and where's the break point where people can become part of the United Way to receive assistance?
So programs have all different kinds of levels. Most of our government programs, the level is 185% of poverty. So there are many families and individuals who are working who are above that level that they can receive state or federal benefits.
So if you're 200% above...
You're not getting, right, you're probably not eligible for free and reduced price lunch at school or, other assistance that are out there. So we still have a large population that are struggling that doesn't have the benefits that they're needed. So that's a problem in itself.
You know, I stop you there for just a second, Elizabeth. I had a conversation not long ago with Chad Earhart, the superintendent of schools of the Des Moines school system, who indicated to me that the vast majority of people that are in the Des Moines school system
75% of the children right now in the Des Moines public schools are receiving free and reduced price lunch.
Yeah, that.
So in many schools, and I can't remember the number now, but in many schools, the whole school now is on free and reduced price lunch because you get to a certain number, 80% or above, I think it is.
And then they just go boom.
It's just not worth all the accounting that it takes. So the whole school gets the free and reduced price lunch.
Right, so
we have a growing number of families, especially, as I mentioned, individuals with young children that are really struggling.
And, okay, so that assistance is available to some people, but 180%?
Yeah, I think the threshold for free and reduced price lunch is 185% of poverty.
Yeah, okay. So, Seth... you know, we've had this conversation before. You and I did an Out to Lunch segment. I really enjoyed that. We were at Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll. What a great place that is, by the way.
You know, I still haven't been back.
Come on, man.
We talked about bringing my wife. You know, we had a baby, so there's been a lot of
life. When's your anniversary?
So it's not till May, but, you know.
All right, save up.
All right, got it.
Because it is such a retro joint, you know. I love it. It is just so fun.
We just moved down the way from there as well, too.
Well,
so
yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to.
We're going to have to, call you monthly. Okay. And while we're talking about all of this and the programs that are offered through United Way, what's the – and I want to get to childcare here in a moment, too, because I think that's another thing. What about transportation and food and housing and all that other –
I think that what Elizabeth really hit on is those public assistance programs that are vital. You know, we call it the social safety net.
Right.
This is meant to be something that's you're meant to use it, springboard back up, and get back on your feet. And we have a cutoff that is just extremely low, is that 185% of federal poverty level is where you lose, you know, a free and reduced lunch, food assistance, you know, you just lose a whole lot of different things. And so that's when you get above that and you're at that 200% of federal poverty level, that's when you start crunching numbers and
right.
you start, you know, squeezing things out. So, you know what, we're going to miss this payment and we're going to, you know, prioritize this.
Or put this on a credit card and then you get issues there, yeah.
We're going to
food pantry. You know, that's another thing. I food pantry people tell me that they've never been busier.
They've never been busier. Yeah, with record numbers, and they continue to increase year over year. And that means that, you know, people are being smart and accessing different things. So you see people that are starting to rent rooms, right? They might be having their house and, hey, I'm going to sublease this room because I need to help make this meet. There's people that are just, they're very creative and utilitarian to make it work. But that's just that. Could you imagine the mental capacity that it takes to say, okay, I have to figure out how to get my kids from childcare, from school, and then I also have to make sure I can get to the food pantry at this point, make it sure that I can get downtown to maybe get my reduced bus fare and all these different things. That just wears on a person. So when we say that, you know, they're just lazy sitting on their couch, really these families are struggling and are working extremely hard just to provide a basic level of life for their families. And so there's so much that goes into this and just so many different misnomers that we have about what it truly
sure.
looks like.
That was part one of this rare extended two-part conversation with the United Way of Central Iowa. Coming up in part two, I'll ask Elizabeth Buck, if she had a magic wand, what would she do to fix the childcare crisis in Central Iowa? Click ahead for that.